But we're learning a conscious insight from the Tzaddik of Simeya that we've been doing the past the couple of times. I want to begin also by thanking the beers, the Josephs. I know Bernice, believe me, we grew up in the same neighborhood, and I know the Mishpacha, and I know Simi also for many years. Ruach Hashem, we come from the same chevra, and it's so wonderful how, you know, life brings everybody back together. So we should be zayich mitzvah to be back in Yerushalayim together, all of us in good health. And we have a tremendous hakaras hatov that Simi and Bernice, or Blimi, I don't know what they used to call Blimi, that we're able to, that they open up their home for dvar mitzvah and for learning Torah. Bez Hashem, we should have simcha, nachas, and bracha in every room until the day that we're all able to go back to Yerushalayim. So let's continue. For those who have the pages, we're by page Yud Aleph. I have pages, but the later ones. I'm hoping. I know it's if you're able to look on or listen, I'm going to explain. I'm going to say everything, but maybe in the future we should try to leave them with one person, so then we could distribute them. We'll probably forget that. Okay. The discussion we've been having, what we've been learning the past few weeks, is such an important yisod, such a fundamental thing in strengthening ourselves to be able to be down the cuff schools. All of our lives, we're being told to judge people in a favorable way. And we really would like to. And we get upset when people tell us that we should be down the cuff schools, and we don't judge them favorably for even telling us that. And we want very, very much to see things in a good way. And the problem is, we don't know how. We need techniques, we need eitzes, and that's what we've been learning. A very, very powerful eitzah. And that is understanding the differences between people. Understanding that it's the Ratzon Hashem, that it's the will of Hashem, that the Jews have different minhagim. Minhagim doesn't only mean that this one davens Ashkenaz, this one davens Sfarad, this one wears a white yarmulke, this one wears a black yarmulke, this one goes to this kind of a shul, that kind of a shul. Not talking just about minhagim in Kedusha, but minhagim with everything in life. And that's what we've been talking about, that there are different ways to raise children. People have different tastes in music and in art. And the simplest thing is in the world, people have different tastes. And it's only when we lose track of that and we believe that all of us are the same and that everyone has to be the same, that we have certain expectations that cause us to be led into a negative way of evaluating, of looking at other people. So let's try to have a better understanding of this. We're on page Yud Aleph, and for those who don't have it, I'm sorry, it's difficult to listen along, but try. On the bottom of the page, Yud Aleph, where it says Eisvav, V'abnei Sosra kochtem them, that means the Bnei Sosra is cooking in this. That means he's always talking about this, the Rebbe, the Bnei Sosra. That even great people have to work very, very hard at this. To uproot this Yetzahara. The Sanzerov says that really in a certain way, not to believe in this is a certain level of apikarsis, of heresy. What's the heresy? What's the apikarsis? What does that mean? It means not to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created different neshamas, and that the different neshamas have different needs, and that each and every person is unique, and that Hashem has created each and every one of us with our unique talents, our unique kaychas, and each one has their own issues to work on. And not to believe in that, and to think that everybody was created the same, and that all men are created equal, that's not true. It's the first not true. Hashem Shabbat loves each and every one, but each person has his or her own way. And the tzaddikim repeat this over and over, how we should not look down on other people who behave, who have different customs and different ways than our own. somebody who dresses differently than we do. Now this is what Rav Tzvi says we have to concentrate on. Every time we feel ourselves drifting into that crazy direction of negativity, he says that, think about this, that there's no seichel v'higayin. It's pashut irrational. He says there's no seichel. Here, come, sit. Look at this. Mama's calling for you. There's no seichel v'higayin. It's pashut irrational. So the Kotzke Rebbe used to say, the Medal of Kotzke, it says in Chazal, Kishem Shein Patsufeyim Shavim, you see that no two Jews look exactly alike. Kach Ein Dersei in Shabbos, the Gemara says. So too, people have different, the same way that people look different, they also have different ideas. Klaimer, Kamosha Lavach Paslo, Klal Maduch Haver Nirach Haesimenu, only a Meshugana would get upset, how come that person doesn't look like me? I can't understand. Why doesn't that person look like me? I have brown hair, the person has blonde hair. I have blue eyes, he has brown. How come? A Meshugana would get upset about that. Nobody asks, why is it? And I don't see a chisaron in somebody. If I have brown hair and the person has red hair, that's not a chisaron. There's nothing wrong with that person. Or one person is tall, the other person is short. It's not a chisaron. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the person. The same way, it shouldn't bother you that the other person has different days, that the person has different ideas. Again, we're not talking about that the person has ideas that are blatantly against the Ratzon Hashem. And we spoke about that. That's a different mode, a different way that we should judge those people in a favorable way. If someone's altogether not religious, so they weren't raised a certain way. That's, we're not talking about that. Now we're talking about amongst ourselves. Amongst ourselves, he says, what does it bother you that this person has certain days? That it shouldn't be considered something that's missing, a chisar. He says a fascinating thing. If we had time, we'd talk a lot more about this. He says that we see that the tzaddikim said that sometimes it's good to make fun of midas. What does it mean to make fun, to make jokes? He's talking about self-deprecating humor. That is, even though generally being a Jew is a very serious matter, and the tzaddikim generally are not the frivolous types joking around, afal pichein, the tzaddikim said that sometimes to make a milsa dibdichusa, to laugh at oneself, or to make chayzik, to make a little bit of fun, to make a little bit of leitzanus when it comes to the union of midas, is a healthy thing. Why? Because Chazal say that in general leitzanus, mockery, making fun, is only permitted when it comes to idolatry, to make fun of avodah zarah. So he explains, v'chol leitzanus asur chutz meleitzanus avodah zarah. Kama shidibana barichas kampon vein kama kama harach. Obam is calling yani hamidas hem le'anachnu. How kol ba mikaychas hayetzim hashivim umas shehem keneged hamidas sheyesh l'kol yehudi. What he's saying here is that, we spoke about this before, that one of the basic beliefs is that each and every one of us, be'emes, each and every one of us is holy and is pure and has wonderful midas and is good. And any of the kilkulim, any of the things that are wrong with us in our midas, it's lo anachnu. Lo anachnu means it's something which is foreign, it's something which is odd, it's something which doesn't belong. It's something which is pashut, a little piece of an, like Chazal say, when a person gets angry, when a person loses his temper, so Chazal say, bring the pasuk, lo yebucha el zar. There shouldn't be a foreign god within you. And that's why, isn't it true that, you know, that after, I don't know if any of you have ever lost your temper, but if it's ever happened to any of you, so afterwards, you go around saying to everybody, you know, that's really not me. It's really, really not me. And I don't know what happened. It's just something, it's not me. It's not me. So what do you mean? So who was it? I don't know. It's not me. And the truth of the matter is that in one respect, one has to be careful about that, because obviously you could be delusionary. On the other hand, I mean, because you did say those things, and you have to make amends, and you have to apologize, and so on. On the other hand, it really is true that it's not you. It's not the emes who you are. You're not really, really, that's not the true seer, the true picture of who you are and who you should be. And therefore, Every time a person slips into something which is a negative midah, into something which is wrong, so he's out of line, out of character. It makes no difference if you've been doing that for 10 years or 20 years or your entire life. It's not bemis who you are. We spoke about how important it is on a certain level to disassociate yourself from that negative part of you and to sort of distance yourself. And I'm sure some of you remember that I mentioned that in the past about how Esther HaMalka, a few weeks ago I mentioned, how according to Chazal, Esther HaMalka didn't actually live with Ahasuerus. She sent in this shade. What does it mean? So Chazal says that she sent in some sort of an alter person, an alter ego. She didn't go herself. So of course, you know, people that don't understand how Chazal talk look at that and say, you know, I could say that any time I do something wrong, that it wasn't me. I sent a shade, you know. That you think I was doing that aveda. That wasn't me. I was home with the kids. That was a shade. So what does it mean that Esther Malka, she had a child with Ahasuerus. From them came Dayavish, and they had descendants. So what does that mean that she didn't go with Ahasuerus to live together with Ahasuerus? She sent her shade. So Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Nachman, the Tzaddikim, say that it, of course she herself lived with Ahasuerus, they had a child, but she never identified with that woman who had to do that. For whatever reason she had to do that, but she didn't see herself as a low person living with this horrible tyrant. She saw herself always as Esther, always as a special, sweet, and holy Jewish girl who, because of certain circumstances, and in that case, as Tosis explains, it was according to Halacha what she did. I'm not going to discuss that now. She was in a miserable situation. She was in a terrible place. But she never came to identify herself and say, well, this, I guess I'm a terrible person. And you know that's what we slip into all the time. Whenever we get angry, whenever something goes wrong with our midas, the most natural reaction to that is, well, that's who I really am. I'm just a horrible, nasty, angry person. Even though 99% of the time, 99% of the time you're wonderful, and you're kind, and you're soft-spoken. And everything, you know, sugar and spice and everything nice, 99% of the time. But there's that little time when you go crazy. And the worst thing to do, and what most people will tend to do, is to identify who they are with that worst version of a midah that's gone wild. And therefore, the tzaddik is explaining here that there's an inyan of avodah zarah. That's why all of you have heard, you're familiar with the teachings of Chazal, that a person who loses anger is compared to someone who's worshipping an idol. What does that mean? Someone who loses his anger, why is he worshipping an idol? Because on a deeper level, he's not being true to himself. And when you're untrue, when you're not true to yourself, and you give in to something other than your godly soul. In other words, when there's something other than the deepest part of you that's directing your behavior on a certain level, that's idolatrous. And what does one do with that? One makes chayzik, one makes leksonis, one puts down. Jews are very funny people. I was just reading an article about this someplace. It's interesting. We were talking about this in the house the other day, that if you, you know, not like we're such big experts and, you know, comedians, but growing up in America and being part of that whole scene, probably I would say, from the ones that I remember, again, I'm not a big bucky, but the ones that were regularly, you know, appearing, I think almost all of them, maybe there were one or two exceptions, I think, because the Jews had to have someone to make fun of. Bob Hope, that's okay, right? That's true. But other than that, Ruba the Ruba, they were mostly Jews. Some that admitted they were Jews, some that didn't admit they were Jews, but mostly they were Jews. And there's a certain koyach that Yidden have to make fun of themselves, to make fun of Narishkeit, to make leitzanis. And therefore, he says here that a person has to realize that just like we have a Yetzer HaTov, Chazal have taught us that each and every Jew has 70 koiches hanefesh. There are 70 powers of the soul. The Vilna Gaon goes through each and every one of them. And a couple of summers ago, I was teaching a kuntres from this tzaddik on the subject of simcha, of joy, in the mountains. And no, it's about joy, not just joy in the mountains, but joy in general. But that was in there. I didn't put that sentence properly, but that's where we learned it. And we spoke there. we learned at that time in the Kuntres on Simcha that there are 70 Karchas and Nefesh, and that's why there are 70 nations, right? There are 70 basic nations of the world. And the Tzaddikim say that each and every one of us is like a Gan Chayis. That means for each one of the powers of holiness, we have an anti-Karach that comes from one of the nations of the world, whatever this Yishmael and Esav, Achite, Yevusi, Aprizi, whatever the nation is. But there's this tremendous battle that's going on within us. And when a person, in a self-deprecating way, makes a mockery of his Narishkeit, and makes a mockery, not to say that it's not that it's not important, but to show how it's so ridiculous, like you know how I acted and how this midah has gone crazy. So when a person does that, he's in some way he's diminishing the chashivas of that poor display of that midah. He's diminishing the chashivas instead of what most of us naturally do, is that when anybody tells you something that's really truly good about yourself, you make leitzanis. Think, and you put yourself down, and you bamas think that you're no good. But when someone says, you know, you're the biggest idiot I ever met, then you think, it's a good point. It's a chash of a point. So it's just the opposite. When someone sees the good in you, that should be the most chash of a thing in your life. And we should teach our children that way. It's the most chashuva thing, and to bring out the good in ourselves and our children, our friends, and so on. But when there are things that are negative, midas, there's a kilkel hamidas, things that are not right. So I remember, I think maybe in years ago, in one of Dr. Tursky's books, he said how his father was a big tzaddik. How his father would always say when the children would act in a way that wasn't appropriate, that wasn't right, probably it was like all children act crazy, and the father, the Rebbe would say, it doesn't pass for you. It doesn't become a person like you. Now, mostly, I mean, that's really what my father would say to us also, but mostly in yeshiva, the way it was said, the way it was given over was, that's the most disgusting thing I ever saw in my life, and because you're a disgusting person, and it passes for you, and therefore it's a perfect shidduch. Your miserable behavior and your personality is mamish, a match made in heaven. And what Dr. Tversky was saying is that his father, the tzaddik, used to say, you know what a chosh of a person you are? It doesn't become you. It doesn't become you. It's so chosh of this doesn't become you, this kind of behavior. So we understand how important it is for our children to hear that, so it's certainly important for us to know that. That's the end of late Sunnis. To be misleitzis, he says, Lefamim shihudi ktsas misleitzis min yana hamidis. Humaschala hagi shabemis ein lezer shum higan viseichel. You know, when you make fun of something, and you're really good at it, you begin to realize how silly it was. You realize it's so silly. One of the best ways to put something really in proper perspective is by humor. Humor, I spoke about humor many times, with Yitzhak Avinu, the meaning of Tzchayk Osali Elokim. Humor is an unbelievably powerful tool in serving Hashem when it's done properly. And when he says that a person, if he takes that silliness inside of himself seriously, it could, God forbid, bring him terribly down. But if you're able to stop afterwards and to make chayzik, to make leitzanis of how you acted and of how crazy you got, let's say when you lost it, so that helps you to realize that there's no seichel in how you acted. It's just so silly. It's so ridiculous. And one of the most wonderful things, Tzimaya says that one of the most wonderful things is the fact that everybody has a different face, everybody looks differently. Because if everybody looked the same, it would make life extremely, extremely difficult. If everybody looked the same, it would make life very unpleasant and extremely difficult. If everybody would have to walk around like with a name tag, to walk around. Believe me, when I see, I don't mean this to sound like it's not nice, but like when I see footage of the island walking around like in Hong Kong or something, in Shanghai, they mamash all look the same to me. They all look the same to me. And I grew up with Chinese chaver on my block. And it was a struggle each time. And I knew them, you know, we were together all the years. And maybe they say that about us. I don't know, you know, whether we look the same, but it looks mamish like the same. So what would be, and to each other, they all look different, I'm sure. What would be if we all looked mamish the same? So everybody have to walk around, like with the Simon. This one says Shimon, this one says Yosef, this one says Reuven, this one says Sarah, Rivka, and Leah. It would be terrible. All day long, we would spend our day trying to figure out, is that you? Are you? If everybody looked the same. There's a chesed Hashem nuflet. It's one of those amazing kindnesses of Hashem that we take for granted. Shekol echad nira acheres michavero. That each one looks different from the other. We have to understand that the same way, it's a wonderful chesed from Hashem that we all look differently. It's also a wonderful chesed, an amazing kindness from Hashem that He made each and every one of us with different netiyos nefesh, with different ways and different customs and different inclinations, and how beautiful life is like that, and how colorful and how interesting, how exciting life is because of that. Plani oiches acheres, this one has a different way. Misnaig acheres, zelot zarech lafil on a klal. This shouldn't bother us at all. But other rabbi, yesh pekach gevaldige toive bli shir v'soif. He says gevaldige chesed from Hashem. There's no end to the chesed of Hashem. In this respect, Koloni Yoidim is that we know this if we think about it, that Hashem is Baruch wants that there should be, as we spoke about last time, that there should be Sfadim and there should be Ashkenazim, and among the Sfadim these, and among the Ashkenazim those. Hashem is Baruch wants that, and he says that it's only, and we understand it when we use our seichel, it's clear. He says, but nebuch the Yetzer Hara confuses us. Raka Yetzer Maitzer Tomid Mokum Arayin Kriechen. The Yetzer has a way of creeping in. We could all see this inside of ourselves and try to uproot this Yetzer. He says that our Father in Heaven wants us to review this constantly. Everybody has his own mahalach, his own way of thinking. And each person has a certain personality. And there's a certain nature. And certain habits. And even if you already brought yourself to a level where you don't make fun of other people, you don't look down on other people, because you see that there are people who have certain physical, there's a certain physical nature that person has, which he says in parentheses, this also requires a great deal of avoda. So now, once a person has already gotten past that less mature stage where you, with children, as we spoke about last week, children will make fun of any physical differences in a person. Children will mamash go crazy. If someone's looks a little bit strange, a little bit odd, and they're not used to that, so children will go mashugim. And even as adults, people look down at mezazel. Let's say if somebody dresses a certain way or has a certain look. Now, he says that's hard enough to overcome. But what's even more difficult and what's even more dangerous is when the difference is in ruchnius, in spirituality. He says in a certain way, gevisa bechina, zilzul machmas in yoni ruchnius uhar b'yoyse geruah. He says in certain ways, looking down upon other people because of their spiritual mahalach, their spiritual ways, is even worse. Listen to the example he gives. He says, we see very often that in Gashmias, people will look down on others for the way that they made their simcha. The way that they made a simcha, chasana. What? Now you see his you'll see in a second who his oilam is. He says that he thinks there's a certain person who thinks she'inyan hadiyik bezmanim who may have dvar machshuvim b'yoyse. I'm embarrassed to say this in front of my wife, because my wife knows that I have that when it comes to zman, so that's there are certain things, ways that people know that for sure I'm not chassidish really in my upbringing, and that's because I'm very medactic with time. Mm-hmm. I'm very nervous about time, and also I don't drink, so there are a couple of things that give me away. But there's a certain person when it comes to making his simcha, to making her simcha, everything has to be just so. When you have these discussions, the Kabbalah's Panim, what's it called? The reception is going to be the Tish. The Chazan is going to be it's going to be 6:30, and they write in the invitation, promptly, underline, promptly. And the Rav isn't there, and it's 7:00, and this person, they're going with sugar, and not just because of the money. It could be that there's money involved too, because it takes longer, but everything has to be bizman. There's a certain person, the simcha has to be just so, and there has to be that the girls, everybody, the family, everybody has to have, the gowns have to be just so, and everything has to match just so, a certain way, and everything has to be meduyak b'yoyse, manamahadrin. He writes him, and for a month before, he's telling everybody, don't forget, by us the chuppah is on time. By us the chuppah is on time. And exactly 10 to 7 is going to be bedekin, and at 7 o'clock is going to be the chuppah, and the chuppah is going to take until 7:32, 7:33 the men of daven marv, 7:45 they're sitting down to eat, 8 o'clock the chasan and kallah are going to come out for the dance, and you have the person sitting there, mamish, for weeks and weeks writing all the zman and making a whole luach. And when someone doesn't fit into the schedule, or this person who goes to other simchas and sees that it's hefker. I once went to a chasna, I'm telling you the truth, there was nobody there. I walked in, I went like a little bit past this man. This is a svadish, you know, when I was new at it, and I walked in. There was Poshit, no one there. They told me that even the Chosn wasn't there yet. And I walk in there, nothing. So you have the person who's very careful, and he wants everything to be this man. So he has a tremendous nisayin. When if it's at his simcha and the people are not, the mechutanim, already the relationship, it could be that before already the relationship was no good, but by this point, by the chasna, with the mechutanim, there's such nisayinis. If one side is very much medayik and zman, everything's with the time, and the other side are laid back. And they could be the nicest people, both couples, are wonderful, wonderful people. There's such a test to one's midas. Or you come to a different kind of a simcha, and it's so natural to be down the kaf chayiv, to judge in a negative way. There are many, many different levels here. And then you have one person that he's okay, there's a 5 minute window. Like there's certain people like within 5 minutes they're still okay. They're still okay if it's within 5 minutes of this man, they're still okay. Ulacha, then you have another yid. Here's a 10 minute slot. 10 minutes. 10 minute tolerance. Kolacha lefima shahu. Each person lefima shahu. Now, when the 5 minute guy sees people that are 10 minutes, and when the 10 minute guy sees someone who's 15 minutes, you understand, you go all together out of your kelim. Because Chayshev Shehem, he says, you see, it's a fashluf dimension. These are batlonim. These are people who are sleeping, batlonim. Life is unimportant to them. What kind of people are these? They have not slach and parnasa. They're probably the worst parents. Look at what kind of people are these? This comes 20 minutes late, comes a half hour late. This is a person who doesn't have a night, doesn't have a day. You write on the invitation that the simcha is starting at 6:30. God walks in at 8 o'clock or something like that. And not only that, I saw you at the chasna last week. The chasna you were last week, you were 20 minutes earlier. This chasna, you're half hour late. And this person who's medayik in this man, he's a 5 minute, 10 minute. So he sees this one that comes different zman. At every simcha comes a different zman. Sometimes he's a half hour late, sometimes it's an hour late, and he thinks the person is altogether hefker. He has no seder in his life, there's no order in his life. He stays up tall hours, goes to sleep late at night. And the 5 minute person, or what if you have a real, real, you know, like a yekisha person, that to the minute, mamish, to the minute, like, you know, they say a joke, but the yekis, the yekis don't say this joke, but about the yekis, that the husband came home early from davening, in the morning, and the wife says, Moshe, you know, so yeah, Moshe, what happened? What happened to you? What happened? Is everything okay? Because he says, yeah, we didn't have today tachanun. Now tachanun takes 30 seconds, right? So she's already, you know, like he came home early. Is everything all right? So you understand that when you have a person who lives according to the watch, so that person, he says, could write books and books about how that way is the best way. This is the true way God wants us to be, exactly on time. That's how it was by Mabon HaSinai. We were already, we were there early. And this is the way that a Jew has to live. Everything has to be Bizman. And he'll go around telling the whole world that my way of being Bizman, on time, this is the only way. And whoever doesn't live this way is a baklan, is someone that's insensitive, he doesn't care. He says, this time he's neglectful, that's what it means. He says, and this person thinks that it's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Why would he do that? He knows that I'm waiting for him. He knows that the simcha is taking place and he comes afterwards. And he thinks to himself, well, I'm going to make a simcha? Everything is going to be just the way it's supposed to be. And by my simcha, everybody is going to come on time. And I'm not going to torture them by keeping them late at night. They're going to go home on time. Now, the same simcha, there's another yid standing. And he's looking at this fellow, the one with the watch, right? And you have this other guy that's looking. You have, let's say, so we'll just, again, there's only because it's ridiculous. You can have a stereotype, but let's just say. So now we have the chassidish fellow who's looking at the yakke, right? And he thinks, Nabuch. Who is a simcha? And he's about simcha the yakke. Vayidei simcha zumargiz es kol ha'olam. He's making a simcha, and by his simcha, he's causing everybody to get upset. He's making everybody nervous. Rushing everybody around. It's a simcha, and he can't even enjoy himself. And he's making everybody else, he's spoiling everybody else's simcha because he's so meshugged that it has to be like this, has to be like that. Ma'at writes him a kol ha'olam. So the chassidish fellow is thinking, what do you want from everybody? Look, everybody took off, everybody came, everybody slept to come to your simcha. What are you standing there with a stopwatch? That everybody has to come, this man has to be this way, and you can't wait another 15 minutes. What are you so mishugged with the time? People are schlepping, people have to come from the city, it's hard. And how do they get to your simcha b'chlal? And you realize that people have to leave work early and have to with the babysitters and all these different inyanim. And instead of being the samech, the people that come, everybody walks in and feels that he's ruined your simcha, that he's disappointed you. You know what? So the chassidish fellow is thinking, you have a certain seder for you, they do what you like. You know, on your cheshbon, do what you like. Why does everybody here, why do 500 people, 400, whatever it is, why does everybody have to suffer because of your craziness? That you live with the clock. So why does everybody have to be so nervous that if they're 2 minutes late, that you're going to have tiredness, and that they're going to miss the chuppah, that there's going to be this and there's going to be that. That's what he says. What are you making crying to Gansevel? You're making the whole world sick. Umisha Yaisimiruma, a person who's a thinker, Yaisimiruma, Maven Shibagash Mishiates Mahalach Kizab, Yesh Mahalach Acher. He understands that there's Mahalachim, that there are some people that they go with his man, and other people that don't go with his man. Kolech Lefi Tivo Mizga. And each one has his own teva and his own mezik. It's, of course, it makes the always interesting things if in the marriage you have those two types, right? and a person who has a bal seichel is able to think that he's different from me, so it doesn't bother me. The yak is not meshugah from the chesed of chesed, not meshugah from the yak. They're different mahalchim. It's a different teva. It's a different nature. When it comes to spiritual things, he says, it's very, very difficult. Now, in physical things like a simcha, it's hard enough. But when it comes to differences in spirituality, and he's going to give examples, so then it's really, really complicated. Because then you have the dangerous, dangerous thing that's called what? I don't care personally. I love you. I'm so understanding of you, but God is really upset. Right. So that l'shem shemaim that destroys so many lives. Everything's l'shem shemaim. L'shem shemaim. Now, personally, I have no tainus, but the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't like this. So once you have spirituality and you have God to hide behind and to use the Ribono Shel'olam as your weapon, so the chances of you being misakin that, it really could just be that you have that you're down the kaf chayva, that you look at people in a negative way, and you look down on people, and you mezalzel on people, and you don't appreciate that there are differences. But you don't have to ever worry about fixing that, because you go to bed thinking that you're the biggest tzaddik in the world. The biggest subject worker is the reason that I humiliated, embarrassed, or the reason I look down upon that person is because that person is not a true Jew. That person is not really, really living the way that Hashem's Baruch wants it to live. And therefore, it's a mitzvah for me. It's a mitzvah for me to judge that person negatively. In doing so, I'm able to strengthen my own Yiddishkeit. And I'm able to make Hashem's Baruch happy that I keep things in proper perspective. And this is why L'shem Shemayim is unbelievably dangerous. So once the great Kovner Rav Yitzchak Elchanan saw two young fellows, young men in the Beis Medrash, in the yeshiva, and they were yelling at each other. They were yelling at each other in learning. They were arguing in learning. The Omer in the Emes Anidan Beinehem Hayimab Shat Berambam Ech Tzarech Linhag Lamaisei. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said to them that if what they really were worried about was what's the Rambam saying, if that's really what concerns them, what really concerns them is what's the simple meaning of Rashi, what's the Gemara telling us. So then he says, you would speak excitedly. Of course you get excited about the learning, but it wouldn't be looking down. It wouldn't be, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said, speaking in a way to put down. It says that they would be respectful of each other and how they talk to each other in learning Torah. Rabbi Yisrael Khanim said to these two guys, you're not arguing about the Rambam. That's a long time ago, the Rambam. I mean, they are talking about the Rambam. They're yelling about the Rambam. You don't know anything. You're this, you're this, you're that. They're arguing about the Rambam, but Rabbi Yisrael Khanim says, now the Rambam is really not the pointer anymore. That's long ago, the Rambam. What does that mean? Each one, when I hear the two of you yelling at each other, it's not because you want to know what the Rambam is saying. It's because each one of you is saying, I know, I'm right. It's me. I'm smart. And there's a lot of this kind of competition. That's not to get to the truth. It's not to understand Hashem's Torah. It's not to hear what Hashem is saying. It's not to hear what Hashem. I remember when years, it was a long time ago, so by my Rebbe, Zechasak Levracha, so there was a bacher that made a terrible mistake. This is by Rav Soloveitchik, Alos Shalom. So the Bacher said, he says, Rabbi, I hold differently from Rashi, he said. And you should have seen. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, it was like, you know, all the veins started like popping out. And so he looked at me and he put his glasses down. He says, you hold, I don't want to imitate, but this is the way he had a very high voice. He says, you hold differently than Rashi. And he says to all of us, you hear that? He holds differently than Rashi. You hold... He couldn't believe it. He just kept on saying it. He holds differently than Rashi. Do you hear that? You hold differently than Rashi. And then he didn't even respond. He just continued saying the Gemara. He holds... But the whole day he said, he holds differently than Rashi. And I was like... And the way you could slip into that kind of talk, which is crazy. You hold differently. You could say, you know, I don't understand Rashi. Is this what Rashi means? Maybe. Is there... Could we possibly learn like this? But the lashoness of having to say that I know, and I don't know if this ever happened to you, even if it's not learning, but let's say it's about a subject, especially something spiritual. That if something with Yiddishkeit, the Chreis, about it's a soul, about how to raise the family, something chashuv. That ever happened to you that you're in the middle of an argument, and you're very stark, you're very strong, and at some point you realize the other person is right. Like somewhere it happened that you see. No, it's not a good point. You know what kind of a tzaddik you have to be to back off and to say emes 99% of the time, and I've seen that by great people, but 99% of the time you'll have like a whole thing like to just try to build up your sheker, and you know that it's not true, and then it's not a question of what's the issue, it's not a question anymore of what's right or what's wrong, it's just me, it's just the ego that's screaming, that's speaking. And I once told you, I was talking about Rabbi Yoshua Beer, one of my favorite stories from when I was learning about Rabbi Yoshua Beer, Rabbi Soloveitchik. It was an amazing thing that I once shared with you in the shul, that Rabbi Yoshua Beer was said an unbelievable shiur for 3 hours straight, a shiur like of the highest level shiur. And we were filling up like a half a notebook, the guys were writing, it was unbelievable. And in the front row, there was a huge Talmud Chacham. He's a Rosh Yeshiva now in Yerushalayim, a big Talmud Chacham. And Rabbi Yosef Ber said over this whole thing. And this Talmud Chacham said, "But Rabbi, what about this?" He didn't even say what the Rambam said. He said, "What about the Rambam in that section of the Rambam?" And none of us knew what he was talking about. He just said the section of the Rambam. It happened to be something from Hilchos Paraduma. We were learning something about Yontif, and it was talking about Paraduma. So all of us just sat there. We didn't know anything. And when he spoke, Rabbi Yosef Ber always listened to what he had to say. So Rabbi Yosef Ber sat like this, and he put his hand like this for around a minute, and he said that so and so is right. Everything I said is wrong. The whole shiur is a lie. 3 hours. He said, the whole shiur is wrong. And we just sat there and we said, I liked it. It was fine with me. I remember thinking, it's great. And he said, it's wrong. And he said, throw out your notes. And we just sat there. We didn't know what to do. He says, I said to you, tear up your notes. It's all wrong. So he actually told it. I mean, people had to start, putting it away. And he said, I want you to get rid of it. It's sheker. It's a lie. He's right. And then he took off his glasses and he put his head down for maybe 5 minutes and he sat up and he said shiur for another 2 hours, a whole different way, all different Rishonim, everything different. And then when he was finished, he looked at that guy, we all gone, and he said, is it okay? And he said, it's okay, Rabbi, that's it. But you know what that is? And they tell me that in the early years, that's already, I had when he was already very old. But they say that when he was healthy, in the early years, actually I remember that your uncle told me this, he used to sometimes go in the middle of the night and wake the guys up. He used to go to the dormitory and wake the guys up and said, how could you sleep? The shiur that I said today wasn't right. And he would wake them up and they would come out in their robes, he'd make them wash, and they'd go to the Rosh Medrash and he'd say they have to learn differently. But he would go wake them up. He said, how could you sleep with it? How do you go to sleep when you heard such an Irish guy from me? He said, how could you go to sleep like that? There's a midas ha-emes in a person. Emes. But it's so hard. Because at some point, all you want to do is to keep, hold on to your flag. That this is the way it has to be. And I know that. And I know it. So Yitzchak Chanan was saying that you guys are not talking about the Rambam anymore. It sounds like it's the Rambam. You're just talking about yourselves now. That's what it means. Kolachet tzayik anit tzaydek. Ukshit tzaykem anit tzaydek asbam is a koilus abrokim. And that's why you're getting screaming. That's why you're getting all carried away. You're not so passionate, he says, about the Rambam. Don't make yourself seem like you're so passionate about the Rambam. What you're passionate about is being right. Not about the Rambam. And that's why you're getting all mashugah. 99% of the fights, the arguments, have nothing to do with the issue. It has to do with the ego. And who's right. And that's why there's so much screaming and yelling and passion. And each person says, no, man, I only mean l'shem shemai. It's because it upsets me that this shouldn't happen like this in shul. It's terrible that this happens in shul. It's horrible. I've had people that you think that, God forbid, someone will say, this is the most disgusting, horrible, craziest thing that ever happened. Because I don't know, whatever it was, the person next to me said Good Shabbos. I don't know, something crazy. I'm not supposed to say Good Shabbos. So maybe it was Yontif, I don't know, they said Good Shabbos. And I don't know if I could come back to the shul anymore. I don't know if I could come here anymore. This is crazy. And I was insulted. And he said, wow, well, such a, if you look at the actual content, it seems so it doesn't seem to warrant that kind of emotion, And you have this kaseda with things in the house and when it's not an inyan of the toichen, of the matter, it's the inyan of you're being right and you feeling that somebody did something that I don't like. I don't like this. It's against my way. It's against my. It could be a kleinigkeit. It could be that it's not a big thing, but for you it's a big thing. He says, "Zeh hayetzah shenichnas." This yetzahar that comes into a person, the mafatima oy, that tricks us. It deceives us. Because this person has a different way in Avodas Hashem. It's a different way of serving Hashem. Again, we're talking about everybody keeping halacha, but he keeps different. He has different menhag, different customs. And this one goes like this, this one goes like that. There are different ways of serving Hashem. Now you have to remember, he's saying this to Jews in Yerushalayim, where there's very, very strong demarcation points between one type and another type. One type and another type. We had tremendous nachas. There was a guest from Yerushalayim here recently. A very choshev guest, the Talmud Chacham, and we had been talking about how Be'ez Hashem we're dreaming. We have a dream that with God's help, one day we're going to be able to begin to have a place for the Kehila to go in Eretz Yisrael. And he said that you know, to start a kehillah, to start a little Eish Kodesh in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, you know, you can't have it. It's not possible. So I said, why? So he said, how do you have this? This guy's walking around with a spadik. This one's walking around with a knitted yarmulke. This one's a balchul. This one's a svag. This one's an ashkenaz. This one's this. This one's that. You know, you can't have it. It can't be an Eretz Yisrael. But that's an Eretz Yisrael. You know, in Yerushalayim, there's such a starkei. And Eretz Yisrael in Bnei Brak, there's such a starkei. And it's all with L'shem Shamayim, L'shem Shamayim. But the emes is that the Baruch Shalom loves each of those Jews. The Baruch Shalom loves the one that he likes to wear spodik. He wants to identify with a Polish tzaddikim. And this one wants to wear a knitted white yarmulke or a colored yarmulke. He wants to identify with the hezda, you know, with the gushamuni, whatever it is. This one, each one has a certain netiyas and nefesh. Each one wants to have a shaychus to a certain way that Hashem's Baruch loves each of those ways. What do you mean? That's exactly the kind of kehillah that we need to build. That's my biggest nachas. That's the greatest joy that I have in the world. That people can be able to appreciate and to respect each other, even though they have differences in their background, the differences in certain hashkafas. I felt pichain to know that the Baruch Shalom Mamish loves that. He loves that. The Baruch Shalom has nachas when he comes to them, and the Baruch Shalom comes into the shul and he sees on the shelf that there are different types of siddur. You know, there are certain people that are very critical of a certain group that they made fun a lot of certain inyonim in the shul and how, you know, it was this svad, this svad, and chesidus, and some making fun. In the meantime, if you walk into our shul, anybody that wants to get an Ashkenaz Seder, you can get an Ashkenaz Seder. If you like the daven Tehillas Hashem Chabad, you'll find Chabad. If you're a svadi, we have Svadish Seder for you, Svaradi, I mean. We have you too. But when I've been in that shul, there's not one Seder that's not Ashkenaz. Not one. Every single Seder, every single one is Ashkenaz. If you want a Svadish Seder, you have to go somewhere else. So where's pluralism? Where's respect for other people? Where's an appreciation that there might be a guest? Maybe you get an old Galitzi out of here, if he wants to daven Nusach Svarad, comes into the shul, you can't have one Svarad Seder. And all of this is from those who are supposed to be the most tolerant people, the most open, the most pluralistic, the most modern, the most appreciative of differences and variations. It's not true. As long as you're exactly like them, then you could talk about different things. But if someone's looking for Nusach Sfarad City, you're not going to find it. And I would say the same thing if you walk into a Chassidish place. I'm not making a chiluk. If you're walking and there's only a Sfarad City, you can't find one Ashkenaz City. I would say the same thing. And the beauty is that you go to a Medrash, you can see that if someone wants to daven Nusachari, he's a Lubavitcher, works and he has Chabad said, this wants to daven Ashkenaz. The shul has a Nusach. Okay, every shul has to have a Nusach. This Ashkenaz, this Sfarad, they're all beautiful. But if somebody comes in, he wants to daven with a different city, you can find a different city. It doesn't have to be Davka this way. There's not only one way to approach a Kadosh Baruch, there are different ways to approach a Shemesh Baruch. And there's such a Yetzer Hara not to see this clearly. So that's what he says. And Rabbi Hirschel said the Shavar wrote, there's a fire that the Tzaddik said was burning within him when he saw the situation, the state of the generation. And the Tzaddik, the great Tzaddik, the Makubal of Hirschel said the Shavar wrote, that what? That before Mashiach comes, that in this area of respecting and appreciating differences between Jews on every level, especially he's talking about Ben Ruchnius, that there's going to be tremendous nisyonis. You see this now in there are neighborhoods in Eretz Yisrael where, I mean, it's sad to say, the neighborhoods in Eretz Yisrael where a Sfaradi cannot have a school, where the Sfaradi will not be accepted into schools. There's a neighborhood, there's one well-known stronghold of Ashkenazim, Sfarad, no way, get away from here. You're not allowed here. And you'll have this between different groups. And for many Americans, it's one of the most difficult things when you come to Eretz Yisrael is to be soivel this. You know, you came to Eretz Yisrael, you're looking to get closer to Hashem, and you come to a school, and the school says, if this is the slightest bit, if you're the slightest bit off from what we determined to be the party line, then you're ready. Oh, you see it. You're not religious. You're not religious. So you have a situation where a girl will come in with a, she's the firmest girl, the finest, nicest, sweetest, most chashuv girl in the world. And she'll come in with something that's not, even not sneezed, you know, whatever it is, I'm not going to go into the protein. You know, these things. And they'll be willing to, what, to destroy a child, to destroy the family. And Dafka, because Eretz Yisrael is a place that's so holy, there's a bigger nisayon there. And for Americans, it's, you can get sebrochen from it, because Americans are more used to liberalism and mediocrity, let's face it. And therefore, hey, it's, I'm okay, you're okay. Everything's nice. That's also not the truth, to be complacent about what's Yiddishkeit, God forbid. And then when you come to Eretz Yisrael, and everybody has his way, and this is my yeshiva, and this is my chassidus, and this is my thing, and this svadim, and between the Sodom, the ones in Morocco, and the ones in Yemeni, everything is like so stark. The lines between groups of Jews are so, so strong. And this is a big nisayon that tzaddik says before Mashiach comes. Because it's all under the banner of L'shem Shamayim. And how many people are hurt? Look amongst ourselves, look in our communities, the stigmas when it comes. I spoke a little bit last week. It's such an Indian, the Indian of when it comes to shidduchim. When it comes to shidduchim, which I mentioned, that someone will say that, you know, that this person's sister went to Mechlala. Oh, we didn't know that. We thought it's Beis Yaakov through and through. Oh, we have to, I'm not sure, it might not be for us. And all of these kind of diburim, all of these lashonis that you, people are prepared to destroy your life, or to shter a shidduch, or to prevent a shidduch, for what? For such narishkeit, for such things to stigmatize, to make chilukim of how this person dresses, this person looks, instead of be'emes, and I was just saying this to somebody the other day, the be'emes, you see, now there's a chiluk, you could have somebody that looks like they're dressed exactly the way that you want. And then from the moment you come into the mishpacha, it's only machlaikas and saras and saras ayin. And you can have other people that they might not look exactly the way that you thought, but they're the sweetest, finest, kindest, most religious and God-fearing people. Mechatesa nowadays, bechlal, the whole union of these chitzanias, these external things, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. If they're good people, the choshuva people. And I say, I'm not saying that they're not God-fearing people and good Jews, of course. But how do you measure God-fearing? What is it considered to be? What's considered to be an Eilech Yid? Someone's, you know, like I said to you once, that I think, I don't remember which parsec that Madam Gavel had said, that people line up day and night to show me with the Esrig. They want to know whether the Esrig is a kosher Esrig. No one comes to show me the dollars, whether the dollars are kosher. Only the Esrigim. Nobody wants this. Nobody the dollars. Or with the words that come out of a mouth, the words that come out of a person's mouth. Dafka, you could be in places where everybody looks the most religious, and in the families there's such infighting it could be. And it could be a place where they don't look as religious, and there's shalom and shalvin, and there's respect. But love Dafka, and it could be the opposite way too. It doesn't go by, but people are so fast to attach a stigma and to say that, and to size people up because of whatever, this person from this place or that place or this shul or that shul. And we all have to be so careful because it's so easy to fall into that. It's so easy, and you know, and since we're in the parasha, this you know, I always find myself slipping into that. It's such a hard inyan not to slip into that. So he says, this is before Mashiach comes, a tremendous nisayin. V'achitzayinim esgarim davke b'midah hazayis, and all the sides of tuma are davke trying to get this inyan, this yetzahara, going. The case of Shamaloshin Vani Oimer is and the Tzaddik Bishler wrote, he says Vani Oimer Yadu Rabban Milsev Va'arvanala, and he says that the Chachamim Chacham, they know about this, and still they know that this is wrong, and they still do it. And the Bishler says in his generation that this is causing so much sorrows. This is causing so much sorrows. And he blames the leaders. He blames the tzaddikim and rebbes and the rosh hashivas. And he says, and this is worse than the machloikis you find by the simple common people. What's machloikis by the common people? Machloikis by the common people is that this one likes pickle tearing, this one likes schmaltzering, right? This one likes to spend this one likes. In Gashmis, the simple people argue about physical things. Here he says, because when it comes to arguments, machloikis with physical matters, after people get into a fight, they usually, each one will feel like, I feel bad that I get into a fight. When it comes to physical things, over an Irish kite. Ach, he says, however, let's just finish this paragraph. Take another 3 minutes. Ach, shemezazlun, bechavero, ben yoni ruchni, is paid yudal. However, when there's between Rosh Hashivas, between Tzaddikim, when there's what, when there's when someone's mezazel in Inyan Mevruch, these are spiritual things. Then Rechayki Mitshuva, Rabbi Hishel says that there's it's very unlikely to do tshuva. Why? Because like we said before, because each person thinks he's a big tzaddik. I know that this is the right way. This is not my way. Rechayki Mitshuva, b'chashvam sha'isim is a mitzvah. Because they think this is a mitzvah. Listen how beautiful the Bnei Sosra writes. He says that Hashem Baruch has put a cheshek, a desire, into the heart of each person to receive Torah Davka from that Rebbe. Now, as you might say, you go to that shul, you go to that yeshiva, you like that Rebbe, you like, huh? How's that? You really think that, huh? You know, you say these like, but Bnei Sosra says that Hashem Baruch has given each Jew a certain cheshek for a certain Torah, and for a certain Rebbe, for a certain Rosh Hashiva, a certain teacher, a certain Mora, a certain Rav, in Yeshiva. It's like that. It's like that. You can go, you'll have, even with little kids. So, okay, kids like to imitate each other, so they say, oh, she's a great teacher. She's the best teacher. But the emphasis is that you could have in one school, and especially if you get older, you'll have some will say, this was the most gewaldige teacher, and you're thinking, I'm talking about it. I didn't hear one interesting thing. You know, I was struggling, you know, I was staying awake the whole time. And this other person thinks that, oh, I never had such a terrific year. This happens kaseida. This happens all the time. And you possibly can't see it. Like I said to you last week, and that a person will see, you can't see how does this wife go with that husband. Oh, it doesn't make sense to you. And therefore you figure it must be that they're having shalom bias problems. I don't want to talk about it, of course. But it must be the shalom bias problems. And you already have this whole thing in your head, you know, Nebuch. And they're happy as could be. But in your mind, it must be there's no shalom bias. Because if you would be married to that person, you wouldn't be happy. No? So that's how it is. But he says, but the Bnei Sosra says that Baruch Shalom gave in the heart of each person a certain cheshek. And if this husband and wife, it's a cheshek. And the Gemara says, the Chazal say, Isha fin mukheres meches chen ben ebala, that a wife, even if she's ugly, is meches chen ben ebala. The husband can think that she's beautiful. The husband thinks she's beautiful. I remember, like, when we were that age, and the guys were going out, and the girls were getting married. So, like, you know, you'd have a friend that would say, you know, what do you think? You know, he was going out with a girl, and he introduced to the guy, and said, so what do you think? You know, we look at each other, like, just say it's gewaltig. But like we say, you know, he's out of his mind. What does he see? Like, what does he see in a bechlal? Not in gashmius, not in ruchnius, not in midas tayvus, not in appearances, nothing. And he's walking around like, you know, he's like flying, this guy with his little cowl over there. And the rest of us are thinking, if it would be me, I'd raise kriya chas v'sholom if I had such a problem stuck like that. And he's like, you know, he thinks he's got the catch. There's nobody in the world that has such a mitzvah. See you like him, and everybody else is thinking, boy, did you get stuck? But this is how it is. It's a chayin that the Baruch Shalom gives each person as a mashiach, a chayin that you're drawn to a certain type of learning, a certain type of Torah, a certain type of a husband, a wife, a chaver. Even when it comes to, you know, with children, and as I spoke about last, even when it comes to how to decorate a house, that this person says, I can't even walk into this place. The other person thinks that this is like the showpiece of the entire East Coast. And also, b'chalal, if they would pay me, I wouldn't live in such a crazy looking thing. And that's how it is. And other rabbi, he says, Ben Israel says, he's a couple of hirabs and very reserved. Like Cain, Lev, Chaver, Kolach, and Misar, Ba'if, and Achim, Rav Achir. And each one has a different mahalach. In the last paragraph, we don't have to read it inside, but then we'll continue with Shem next time, Zayin. But he brings there from the vision of Sifna Havas Yisrael that you see, especially when it comes to learning and davening. When it comes to learning and davening, there'll be some fellas, now in yeshiva, so those of you that you know, from your, if you have sons, or from the husbands, or from the fathers, that in learning, when it comes to learning Gemara, there's some people that their way of learning Gemara is to spend a lot of time on every single, you know, thing, and to go into very, very deeply. Then there are other people, when it comes to learning Gemara, that like to go, you know, to cover a lot of pages, to go through, like, a lot of shots. And each one looks at the other one like he's destroying the whole Torah. That's not the right way. And this is not for me. When it comes to davening, same thing. He says, when it comes to davening, there's a certain person that loves to daven slowly, and he likes to kvetch a certain way. And there's another person who likes to daven with a little bit of a niggin, and this one likes this kind of davening, that kind of davening. And all of these things, he says, give the Baruch Hu the biggest nachas, that they're different, that he wants us to have a cheshek, to come to him and to talk to him and to learn his Torah, each one his or her own way. And that's the nachas that Hashem Baruch has from us in this world. And instead of appreciating that, he says that there's a tremendous, tremendous Yetzirah. There's a tremendous Yetzirah to look down, to be mezalzel, and anybody who does anything differently than we do. So we're going to meet some next time. We'll probably be able to finish because we're going to skip. And I want to thank again to thank you, Belimi and Simi, for the house. And as Hashem, we should see each other on good occasions. Be there on time.